Good morning, everybody. Can I welcome you to Little Hill Church this morning? It's a joy to see you. It's a joy to meet together, isn't it? How good God is. He's given us this beautiful day and a day when we can come and worship him. So can I welcome you to the church? Can I welcome you if you're joining us online? And our prayer is that our Lord Jesus might be exalted and lifted high as we worship him together. Let me read from the Psalms as we come to worship God. Psalm 100, it's a very short psalm, but packed full of encouragement, packed full of wonder and reasons to worship. It's a psalm for giving thanks, and it says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Amen. God is good to his people. He has made us glad. And our first song, we'll sing together a short song. It's number 28 in the supplement based on these words. "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise." It's short. We'll sing it through a couple of times as we respond to God's goodness and give him the praise that's his alone. Thank you. What else gives joy like knowing God? What else gives joy like knowing that your sin has been forgiven and your eternity is secure? Nothing can copy that. Nothing comes close to that. And God, in his word, gives us so many reasons and reminders. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. His people, the sheep of his pasture, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We have an invitation to come and worship God this morning, God who's done so much for us. So let's come and bow before God in prayer. Our God in heaven, we thank you so much for your precious word that calls us to worship you this morning. This beautiful Lord's Day that you've given us, there will be so many other things that the world will be doing, enjoying the sunshine and your creation. And yet the greatest thing that we can do this morning is to come and worship you, to do what your word has told us, to enter your gates with thanksgiving and to come into your courts with praise, to give thanks to you and bless your name. And the reasons for us to do that are here, because you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever. You are a God who is faithful to all generations. And you, being holy and pure and righteous, still give this invitation for us to draw near to you, to come before you, to serve you, to rejoice and make a joyful noise. And so we will do that this morning. Father, thank you that even the trials and the challenges and the difficulties that we face each day living in this broken and sin-sick world cannot take from our hearts the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and all the wonderful blessings that are ours through him. So as we come this morning, Father, maybe it's hard to be joyful this morning with things that have been going on. Maybe it's easy to be joyful because we've enjoyed your blessing and known your goodness and your help this week. Lord, for those extremes and everything in between, give us joyful and thankful hearts. Thank you for each other. Thank you for time to come together to worship you. Thank you for this building, this place that we can meet to worship. And Father, we know the church is not the bricks and the mortars. It's the living stones, those that you have saved and called to yourself. And so may we be this morning as your people, those of us who know and love Christ, those who are truly in him, may we be that temple that you please will come and fill with your Holy Spirit, with your presence and your blessing this morning, that our joy might grow and overflow. So please hear our prayer and have mercy on us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's sing again of God's great love to us, his mercy that's made everything possible as his people. What love could remember, no wrongs we have done, how much we sin, and yet God in his grace and mercy, it's greater than our sin, and he calls us to himself. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Thank you. We are carrying on in Luke's gospel this morning, but our first reading is from Isaiah and chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, in what we're looking at in Luke's gospel, the Lord Jesus quotes from this passage in Isaiah, and it's helpful to read it and have it in our minds as we think about what the Lord Jesus says in our study, our time in God's word in a little later. So Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 8 to verse 13. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and be healed. Then I said, how long, O Lord? And he said, until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people from far or far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. These are very difficult words, but God has given them to us in his word, and our prayer is that his Holy Spirit will help us understand what God would teach us this morning. Again, let me welcome you to Little Hill. It is great to see you all, and again, any joining us online, good morning to you. And as we come together to worship God and open his word, may we be glad that we were here today because of God's goodness to us. So let me remind and echo that welcome this morning, just to go through some of the things that's happening this week. And firstly, to say thank you for your prayers for last week with Kids Club, Youth Club and Little Ones starting. It seemed certainly with seeing Little Ones busy and Kids Club, I didn't stay long enough to see Youth Club on Friday, but they were busy times, and thankful to God for all those who came. And we had some new ones start at Kids Club, which was a real blessing. They're hoping to come again this week, so we're very thankful to God for that, for how he is bringing along these folks, for them to hear God's word and for us to share with our community the wonderful news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we go through this week, we have our afternoon service at 5:30 this afternoon, and Josiah will be bringing God's word to us, looking at a passage from Philippians chapter 4. So if you have time to read Philippians 4 again before the service this afternoon, I'm sure it will be a blessing to you, but good to have that word in your mind as we come again to worship God and listen to his word. As we go through the week, pretty much every day there's something going on, so please do have a look at the Little Hill link to see all the things that are happening. Just a couple of things to draw your attention to particularly. The ladies' Bible study on Tuesday morning at 10, starting a new study in Proverbs, and it's Proverbs chapter 9. So if that helps give a bit of context for the study, the title there, Learning to Live Wisely, please do read Proverbs chapter 9 before Tuesday, and I'm sure that will be a blessing for you. Our midweek meeting on Thursday will be sharing the Lord's Supper together. And can I encourage those of you who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ and who are walking in fellowship with him, come along. Yes, it's Thursday. Yes, you've perhaps been at work since Monday or busy with other things, but it's a blessing to meet together. And it's commanded of the Lord Jesus that we remember him this way. So let me really encourage you to come if you're able to on Thursday as we meet together to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our midweek meeting. Saturday coming, the 20th of April, it's the Senior Citizens Tea. I do have an invite somewhere here. Yep. 3:30 on Saturday here in the church. There's still some of these available, I think, to give out. We can get some more printed if not. But please invite folks to come. Pray for those who will be busy on Saturday preparing the tea. There's a lot of practical things that have to happen. Pray for the one who is speaking God's word, and just the conversations as well that happen around the tea, around the refreshments, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So please do remember that in your prayers for Saturday. And it's such a needy part of the community around us. There are many older folk who live around the church. They're closer to eternity. And if the gospel message is obviously urgent, it's for them. Although none of us know our times, that's in the Lord's hands. But let's really pray that God would use this opportunity. There will be many who come and many who hear the gospel. That's Saturday. Some other things just to remind you of, things coming up. The last Sunday in this month, the 28th of April, God willing, in the morning, will be the first visit of the international students this year. So if you're able to provide a meal for some of them in your home or help with some of the transport, please have a word with Derek McDonnell about that. That's Sunday, the 28th of April. And God willing, Sunday, the 12th of May as well, we'll be having a baptismal service, which we're very excited about, thankful to God about. If you know and love the Lord, but you haven't yet been baptized, again, it's something he commands that you do, that you show your obedience and your love for Christ by being baptized. So if that's you this morning and you know you should be being baptized, please do have a word with one of us elders about that. But please do be praying for that Sunday as well. And just lastly, a very practical thing. If you gave your details to be in the new church address list and prayer diary, but haven't yet had your copy, please speak to me on the way out and I've got some copies for you. So if you've asked for your details to go in there, but you've not yet got your copy, please have a word with me on the way out and I've got some available to give out this morning. There's been a lot of information to share, but something that's a real blessing and encouragement to do now. I'd like to invite Wendy Chapman to join me at the front. I'll come down the steps. Good morning, Wendy. Wendy's asked to join the church and to become a member of Little Hill Church. So we're delighted to have Wendy join us. And this morning, I want to welcome you into the membership of the church and to pray for you as well as you remain with us as a member for as long as God would have you here with us. So let's pray and come to God in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the fellowship of your people. We thank you for the joy of belonging to Christ and through him belonging to one another. Father, we want to thank you for Wendy. We want to thank you for the grace that you've worked in her life, for her testimony of knowing Christ as her Savior and Lord. Thank you for the years of service, serving in other churches in the city and county area. And we thank you now that she's joining us. And Father, we want to pray for Wendy as she becomes a part of the fellowship here at Little Hill. We pray as church members here already that we would be an encouragement and a blessing and a source of joy and friendship and Christian brotherly love to Wendy, that she would know that welcome here and feeling part of us. And for Wendy, as she serves alongside us, that she too would be a blessing and an encouragement and a source of a strength and joy to us as well as we walk together as your people here in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you call your people together from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds. Thank you for the amazing grace that you work in each one of us. Each one of us can only be a church member if we're first a member of Christ, if we're a member of that church that is invisible and universal. But thank you that we have local expressions of it here. And so we want to pray for Wendy, for your blessing upon her and for her encouragement and joy as she joins with us. So Lord, hear our prayer, accept our thanks for your many blessings and goodnesses to us. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm going to hand it over to James for the children's talk now. Thank you, James. Okay. What do you want to see?
Lovely. Okay. Good. Who were we looking at last week? Can you remember the name of the man fed by ravens in the wilderness? Even though there was a drought in the land, there was no rain. This man, a man of God, a prophet, Elijah. Well done. Well remembered. Okay. And God was with Elijah. And we looked at how God provided for Elijah, even when there was no rain in the land and things were hard. And God brought Elijah to the house of a widow. And do you remember as the widow fed Elijah and provided bread for him, the flour didn't run out and the oil didn't run out. And God was good and God looked after Elijah and that woman and her son. Okay, so that's where we start the story today. Elijah is still living in their house under their roof living in their house with them. But you know, over time, the boy, the son of this woman, this widow, became ill. Now, what do we do when you get poorly and ill? What sort of things might we do? We might go to the doctors, that's right. And what else might we do if we've got a bit of a headache or we're not feeling well? What? We might take some medicine, yeah? You might have some Calpol or something like that to make you feel better. But this wasn't just going to the doctors, yeah? Going to A&E. This was really serious. What do you do when it's really serious? What do? When it's really, really bad, you have to go to the hospital and you have to ring 999, don't you, and call an ambulance. Now, I've got a doctor's bag here. In my doctor's bag, I've got some pills you take when you've got a poorly tummy. Do you think we'll need those? No. I've got some ibuprofen. That's if you've got some sore joints, aches and pains. I don't think we'll need those. This is really serious, isn't it? Oh, dear. Oh, what about this? What's this? A stethoscope. What do I do with it? How does it work? Right, so I put these in my ears, don't I? And then I can listen to see if my heart's beating. Nice and steady. It is beating. You're all very loud now. I sound very loud to myself. And I can also hear, okay, if I'm breathing, I think I actually put it normally on your back, and you can listen to your chest through your back. Is that right, Doctor? Something like that. And you listen to people's breathing. So you listen to their heart, see if their heart's beating, and you check that they're breathing as well. Well, that would be important to do. There's all sorts of gadgets in it. I don't think I'm going to need my bandages today. No. I've got something clever here that you can clip on somebody's finger and you can check their oxygen levels. You know, the oxygen that we breathe in and that we need. You can see how good that is. And, 97. Is that good, Doctor? That's all right. Okay, and the pulse of about 75. Well, that's all right, isn't it? That's okay. 98. Percent oxygen now. That's getting even better. Got to keep breathing that. Does it work like that, Doctor? No, it doesn't work like that. Okay. But that's good enough. I think that's a good enough reading. Okay. So that's really clever, isn't it? Do you think they had anything like this in Elijah's day? Do you think they had an ambulance that you could just ring on the phone? Do you think they had stethoscopes and pulse oximeters and bandages? Well, they might have had bandages, but and pills like this. I don't think so. You know what? This boy got so poorly and so ill that he died. And the widow said to Elijah, "What have you done? Have you come to bring all the sins that I've done against God against me? And have you come to bring all those sins against me that you've caused my son to die?" Okay? She was showing a bit of sadness there, a bit of anger. There was a bit of confusion with what had happened, and she thought that God was punishing her. And so really, she was actually really blaming Elijah and blaming God for this tragedy that happened to her son. Elijah was calm because Elijah realized that somebody was in control. Who was in control of the whole situation? God. And God wasn't going to leave the situation like that. And Elijah said, "Look, let me take your son." He took him upstairs, and there was a bed upstairs, and he took him and he placed him on the bed. And then he called out to God. There wasn't a phone to ring the ambulance, like we've just said. He called out to God, straight to God, because God was in control. And he said, "God, have you done this against this woman? Have you brought me here just to kill her son?" And then he did something very strange. He stretched himself out on the boy three times. One, two, three times. And waited. And then he prayed some more. And he prayed a prayer to God saying, basically, let this boy's life come back into him. What do you think happened next? What do you think happened? Do you think he stayed there? He was talking to God. What do you think happened to the boy? The boy revived. He came back to life. Now, we know, don't we, that only God can do something like that. And God did. And, you know, the man would have been able to feel, if there was a doctor there, Elijah would have been able to see that this boy, his heart was beating. And he was breathing. And if they were to have one of these, and have a go, there would have been oxygen going through his lungs. Take a moment and then you'll see some numbers, hopefully. This boy was breathing and his heart was beating. It's taking a while. It's definitely working because I can see those little bumps there. Okay, the oxygen was going through his body and he was breathing and he was alive. He didn't need any of these things anymore. He was fine. He was okay. Just as before. And Elijah took him downstairs to his mother. And I think she was probably very relieved to see two of them walking down the stairs. What a relief. And then she said something, because she realized this was no ordinary man. She said, "You are a man of God," to Elijah. She could see that not only he was a man of God, but also that the words he said from God were true. And she knew that God was God, and this man was from God, who had saved her son, and that God can do anything, things that seem impossible. Yeah, we might have all this stuff today to help us when we get poorly, and that's important, but boys and girls, we need to know the God who can bring people back from the dead. We need to know Jesus. Have you trusted in Jesus? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Because the Bible speaks of Jesus as somebody who stretched himself out, like Elijah did in the story, stretched himself out to give life. When did Jesus stretch himself out? When did he do that? On the cross, when he died for us. He stretched himself out on the cross, didn't he? So that he could give us life. And that's the best life we can know, not just life like that boy had life, but life in Jesus. That's the life we need to have, boys and girls. Well, we're going to sing now, and we're going to sing our song about Jesus, Strong and Kind. And we're singing a new verse today. If we could have the next slide just to see this verse. Jesus said that if I fear, like that woman in the story, feared for her son, I should come to him. No one else can be my shield. I should come to him. Let's sing this together.
James. Always glad to hear somebody's heart still beating while they're sat doing the children's talk. That's very important. We're going to sing, before we turn to Luke's Gospel, it's 322 in Christian hymns. It's a hymn that's written based on the passage we're going to read. Almighty God, thy word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend and righteous fruits abound. 322 in Christian hymns. Please turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 4 to 15, but focusing particularly this week on verses 9 and 10. If I was to ask you what is the purpose of parables, I'm sure you would give me an answer. And often when we ask the question, why are there parables in the scripture? Why does the Lord Jesus make much use of parables? It's not only the teaching of the Lord Jesus where we hear parables, they're throughout the scriptures. But often the answer we get, why parables? The answer we might give would be to make big truths simple and understood. Often the parables, certainly of the Lord Jesus, begin, the kingdom of heaven is like. And we have a clue as to the parable, a key to the parable in that opening statement. The kingdom of heaven is like something. And an illustration is going to be given. And parables sometimes are like that. But that isn't the only reason for parables. There is actually quite a serious reason for parables and a challenging reason for parables. Maybe sometimes the answer is to make something simple, but importantly, it's not always just to make something simple. In front of us in Luke 8, verses 4 to 15, we have what's been called the parable of the sower. It would perhaps be better called the parable of the seed. Because the seed is the most important thing and the soil. It's a parable I'm sure that you're very familiar with. But the parable of the sower, as we call it, is such an example of a parable being used not to make something clear and simple. You might think the meaning of this parable is obvious, but let me ask you this question. Is it? Is it? So let's read Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for those that are in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Well, let's pray and ask for God's help to understand and to give his ears to hear. Father, as we've just sung, "Oft as the precious seed is sown, thy quickening grace bestow, that all whose souls the truth receive, its saving power may know. O Lord, bestow grace upon us and help to understand, that we might know the saving power of your word. For Jesus' sake, amen." So as we look at this parable, this familiar parable, what does God say his purpose is for parables? What does God say his purpose is for parables? And I want to ask you, as I start, to forgive my clumsiness this morning, because in trying to get to the bottom of some of these big things that we will come to in these verses, I feel very much like algae trying to explain the sea life of the Pacific Ocean. What do I know? I'm tiny, and the subject is vast, because God is vast in all of his ways. So as we look at the purpose for parables, and I'm sorry that the title has changed from what was in the link, in kind of looking at this, I thought it'd be better to deal with this section on its own rather than with the parable. So spiritual cardiographs will come next Sunday, God willing. But this morning, the purpose of parables, 3 points. Firstly, judgment for those who won't hear. God's purpose in parables, judgment for those who won't hear. The second point, life for those who will. Thirdly, taking a step back from it, God's control of it all. God's control of it all. And then the fourth thing isn't a point as such, but just applying some of these truths to our lives as we read God's word. So, judgment for those who won't hear, life for those who will, God's control over it all, and then just what we take from that, what this truth is teaching us this morning. First point then, judgment for those who won't hear. If you read verses 9 and 10 carefully, let's do that again. When his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." When we read those verses, we see that this is deliberate, not accidental. This is deliberate, it's not accidental. "But for others," Jesus says, the teaching is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. The Lord Jesus is saying there is a deliberate reason why parables are being used at times to conceal truth. And then he quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, what we read earlier, "Seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." And if you remember, that passage from Isaiah 6 goes on to say, "Lest they turn and be saved." That God was giving Isaiah a ministry back then that was in many ways a ministry of judgment, though he was bringing God's mercy and salvation. And if you read the prophecy of Isaiah, so many times there is that invitation to come. Chapter 55, come, come. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Throughout the prophecy Isaiah has given from God, he's calling people to repent. But there's a way in which as well that the word that Isaiah is bringing will be a word that brings judgment, that people will hear. Israel had got to the point where they were kind of hearing the noise, but they'd stopped listening. They weren't paying attention. They weren't responding in repentance and obedience and faith as they were being called to. They were hearing God's word, but they weren't doing it. And so God was almost saying now through Isaiah, you're going to hear, but actually it's going to harden you to the truth. It's going to harden you to salvation. It's going to harden you to trusting and believing in me and being saved. And this is the danger of choosing not to hear. A heart that is hard, a heart that is shallow, a heart that is selfish and proud. And we see this in the soil. A heart that is hard, a heart that is shallow, a heart that is just so full of itself and its own desires and pleasures, a heart that is proud. And it's kind of been illustrated earlier in the Lord Jesus going to the home of Simon the Pharisee in chapter 7. Because there, the Lord Jesus tells a parable about a moneylender and two people who owe. And Simon hears that parable the same way the woman who's sinful hears the parable. And there's a challenge to Simon the Pharisee. This is warning you. You've not seen your need to be forgiven. You've not come to me and asked for forgiveness. And so you have little love. And he heard exactly the same parable as the woman who was weeping and washing the feet of the Lord Jesus with her tears and wiping his feet with her hair and anointing his feet with expensive ointment. Judgment for those who won't hear. It would be like me seeing the warning of a cliff edge written in ancient hieroglyphs. I can't read it. And I perhaps don't want to read it. I don't want to take the trouble to learn ancient hieroglyphs. And I think I know better. I think I'm fine. And I carry on. But I come to harm. You see, though I didn't understand or perceive what that warning was saying, the warning was real. The warning was there. The warning was true. The warning was valid. And this should come as no surprise to us. That as God's truth goes out, there are those who will hear it, but it will not bring about faith because they choose not to hear. They don't want to hear. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. The Apostle Paul makes this point. Starting in verse 7, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. That's the secret wisdom of God's salvation through faith in Christ, which seems like weakness to the Jews and foolishness. And then look at verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 2. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They heard the same teaching of Jesus. They saw the same miracles. They witnessed the same perfect life, but they chose not to hear. Or Romans 10. A great passage that speaks about hearing, leading to faith. Romans 10:18, but I ask you, this is Paul speaking of Israel, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And he speaks of how God has given his word to his people, yet they've rejected it. Verse 21, but of Israel he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. They would not listen. They chose not to hear. And so it became judgment. And so the Lord Jesus is doing the same thing. I speak the truth of God in parables. And it brings judgment. Back to Luke chapter 8. If you look at verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. so that they may not believe and be saved. Not saved. Do you know, this parable is not a simple or obvious repent and believe the gospel situation. They'd heard that message and they hadn't listened to it. They'd heard it clear and they had chosen to ignore it or decided they didn't need it. God's word brings judgment for those who will not hear and respond. And though the message is in there, the message is in there. And you see this perhaps most tragically illustrated in the parable the Lord Jesus tells of the wicked vine dressers or the wicked tenants. Remember in the last week of his life, and he speaks that parable of the vineyard, and the master goes away and the tenants come in to look at it, and he sends the servants to collect the revenue, the rent, and they beat them up and they treat them shamefully, and eventually they kill one of them. So in the end he says, I'll send my son, they'll respect my son. But they kill the son. And then he speaks of the judgment that the owner of the vineyard, the vengeance that will come on those wicked vine dressers. And the Pharisees are angry with the Lord Jesus because they perceive he's talking about them. So they get so much of it, but they're still choosing not to do anything about what it means. Because they will not hear the truth. And so it's a parable that brings judgment. They can't hear because they won't hear. The Lord Jesus is saying there are those who will hear the truth, but they can't hear because they won't hear. Bible teacher R.C. Sproul, in one of his commentaries, wrote this. This is God saying, you don't want to hear, then you won't hear. God gives people what they want in that sense. Judgment for those who won't hear. But secondly, life for those who will. Life for those who will. Again, it's deliberate. Look at what the Lord Jesus says in verse 10. To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. To you, he's speaking of his disciples, it's emphatic. He's singling them out. To you, you will know the secrets of the kingdom of God. And to know means that the secret has been or is being revealed to them. They're being given the understanding that they need to listen to the truth of God and to know what it means and then to do something about it. God's word should never be passive. It doesn't come from God passive. It hardens or it saves, and we should never receive God's word passively. That's the dangerous thing to do. In this parable that the Lord Jesus tells, the truth is revealed and understood. And when you see what it means, when you see that truth, it is clear, it's simple, and it's powerful, isn't it? You think back to that bad illustration about the hieroglyphs. I've seen that warning. But instead of kind of thinking I know better and not being concerned and thinking, oh, it's not important, I don't understand it, it's not important. Instead, I am concerned knowing that I don't always know best because I know my own heart and that I can be foolish and weak and often people know better than me. And I go and find out what it's saying. And so I'm spared the experience of walking off a cliff. You see, there's a difference in choosing to hear. Wanting to know and understand and asking for help to get it. This is speaking of a heart that is humble and open. If you go back to the illustration the Lord Jesus gives in the parable in verse 15, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and a good heart. It's not a shallow and a selfish and a proud heart and a hard heart now. It's an honest and a good heart. It's that concern that even if I don't understand, I need to understand, I want to understand, I want to know what this means. I'm not content to just hear a story and move on to what else I'm going to do next and perhaps learn a little bit more about where not to sow seed when I become a farmer, if ever. That's not the point. Do Just go through Psalm 119 and how that deals with our approach to God's word, to God's truth. Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. Verse 25, give me life according to your word. Do you know, five times in that psalm, the psalmist says, give me, because I haven't got it. Open, because I can't see it. Give me hearing, because I can't hear it. I need God to work to make me understand this. And look at verse 9 in Luke 8. When his disciples asked him what this parable meant, they heard the parable. They knew they hadn't quite got it. And they asked him. That's the difference. You see that? They asked him, what does this mean? Life for those who will hear. They listen and they're saved. God's word brings life for all who will hear and respond. So from a human level, they can hear because they want to hear. They can hear because they're concerned to hear. Contrasting that with judgment for those who won't hear. They can't hear because they won't hear. They don't want to hear. Judgment for those who won't hear. Life for those who will. Jesus says at the basic level, these things are said in parables because for those whose hearts are hard, and who don't think they need to know, and who don't want to know, the truth that will save them is hidden. But for those whose hearts are humble and open and seeking and knowing they're needy, in the same words, the truth is there and they're given help to see it. They're helped to hear it and to understand it. And you know, when we look at the parables, to ask, what's the point and want to find out is the whole point. To ask what's the point and understand it like the disciples did, that is the whole point. What is God saying here? What is the truth I need to know? Judgment for those who won't hear, life for those who will. Thirdly, God's control of it all. Again, verses 9 to 10, when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Again, my awful hieroglyphic illustration once more. I don't find in myself the ability to read hieroglyphs. I need the help of someone else. I need the help of someone else. Someone to teach me. Someone to give me instruction. And the Lord Jesus makes this so very clear in what he says. To you it has been given. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. This has come from outside of yourself. Think of the Lord Jesus' response to Peter in Matthew 16. When he answers the question, who do you say that I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what does the Lord Jesus say after that? He says, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. God is the God who reveals mysteries and secrets. And remember, God gives according to grace, not according to right or entitlement. God never gives us anything good because we deserve it. When we use that sense of God giving us what we deserve, it's only judgment. Because that's what we deserve. When God gives us and it's a benefit and it's a blessing and it's positive and it's good, it's according to his grace. And that word secrets is important. To you, it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. That means things belonging to and known only to God until he chooses to make them known or understood. Things belonging to and known only to God until he chooses to make them known and understood. To you, it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. It's one of the Apostle Paul's favourite words when he's speaking of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. These secrets that for ages were kept hidden but now have been made known. He's speaking of things that belong to God, and it's God's timing and God's wisdom and God's grace and goodness that he reveals these certain things to us, things that we need to know. God reveals these things to some. And in this context, it's the disciples, and broadly, bigger than that, it's to his people. But there's others, you see, we see both sides of God's control in this and his purpose. To you, it's being given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, it's said in parables, there's two sides to this. Those that God is choosing to reveal the truth to, that they might hear and be saved. Those that God is choosing not to reveal the truth to, and to confirm them further in their hardness and rejection and rebellion so that they're not saved. And that's a difficult thing for us to accept. That is a difficult thing for us to accept. That God uses the same truth he sends out to save some and harden and judge others. And we don't like some of these things because we can't fully understand them. And they perhaps don't sit well with our human wisdom and our human view on life and fairness and other things. And it's hard for us. But it's what the scriptures teach us. And about these things being revealed to us, go back again to 1 Corinthians 2 and see what the Apostle Paul goes on to say from that verse I quoted earlier, 1 Corinthians 2:10. Or verse 9, sorry. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of mine imagined, these are the secret things of God. These are what God's planned, what God has prepared for those who love him. And then Paul's comment on this. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. God has revealed these things to us through the Spirit. God has given us wisdom and understanding. God has given us hearing to hear the truth. And think of what the Lord Jesus himself says in Matthew 11. 25 and 26. Matthew 11, 25 and 26. The Lord Jesus, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. The Lord Jesus himself giving us a comment on this, that God has hidden things from those who think they're wise, those who think they know the way, those who are so confident in themselves and their ability and their wisdom and their own goodness. God has hidden the truth from them, but he's revealed it to those who, like children, come and are needy and ask for help and know they're not big enough and strong enough and can't do it themselves, like children, and come and say, please help me. It's God's gracious will, Jesus says, to reveal it to those ones. And let me do this to help illustrate the point. If you had not been given, or if you had never read Luke 8:11-15, where the Lord Jesus explains the parable of the sower, would you have understood the parable? Imagine that you've never heard Jesus explain what the soils mean and what the seed is. And be honest, as you read verses 5 to 8 now, look at them in front of you. Look at those words in front of you. If you'd never read verses 11 to 15 or heard a sermon preached about the parable of the sower, would you understand what Jesus is saying? I think if we're honest, we would all say no. How would we understand what Jesus is teaching in these verses unless we'd heard how Jesus explains it, unless we'd been given understanding? And that's a very humbling thing, isn't it? Because we read the parable of the sower, we know what it means. We've always known what it means since we were taught it when we were this high at home or Sunday school, and it's the good soil or it's the rocky soil and it means this. But if you've never heard that and you were just sat by the Sea of Galilee hearing Jesus teach this parable as the disciples did before they asked him for help, would you get the point? No. And that's the point. To understand it, we need God to show it to us. The disciples needed Jesus to explain it to them. And there are some who heard that same parable and then they just got on with their day. And they weren't bothered to understand what it meant. But there were some who clearly were bothered to know what it means. So we have to kind of take that understanding of judgment for those who won't hear and life for those who will and see it in God's control over it all. Because we've just proved the point ourselves. Those who can't hear, it's because they won't hear, ultimately because they can't hear, because God is keeping them from knowing the truth. It's judgment upon them. Those who hear, hear because they will hear, and that hearing is because they can hear, because God is graciously giving them the ability to hear the truth. It comes from God. It's God who makes the distinction. To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, that hasn't been given. Do you know, one of the obvious applications straight away is what a privilege it is to have the Bible in our hands. What a privilege to have verses 11 to 15. What a gift God has given us and given this world with giving the Bible, giving the truth. So how do we apply these things, these difficult things? Because they're not easy. We want to understand things to kind of the point where we get it. And you know, as a preacher, it's hard because you want to explain it to the point where everybody gets it. Here is one of those things where I can't. Who does the hearing depend on then is an obvious question to come out of looking at this difficult passage. Who does the hearing depend on? It depends on you. How does the Lord Jesus end the parable in verse 8 of Luke 8? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus calls this out, he says. He makes sure everybody's physically hearing him. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is warning people, you need to listen. You need to understand it. You need to know what this means. And the responsibility for that sits with you. But the other side, who does hearing depend on? It depends on God. Hearing depends on God. God is the one who gives people ears to hear. This is why our minds struggle. And you know, sometimes we hear these things where these two things are brought to us from a very obvious place in Scripture. And we can't deny that both of them are there, like we can't this morning. We can't deny that both these things are happening in this situation. But you know, we can't be angry with God about how he makes these distinctions and what he does any more than an orange can be angry with God for not being a lemon. God's the creator. God's the sovereign. God's in control. Who does the hearing depend on? It's your responsibility to hear. And it's God who gives hearing. And you know, there's another obvious thing that comes out of this morning for us, and it's this. God has secrets. God has secrets. This is another of those secrets that belongs to God that is not fully revealed to us. How this works, how both things can be true at the same time, is beyond us. Because God has secrets. And again, that comes out again and again, right through Scripture. The secret things belong to our God. His ways are higher than your ways. The Apostle Paul in Romans 11, your paths are beyond tracing out. But you know, we're being given enough to believe and to worship. God reveals enough to us to believe and to worship him. And there is a huge element of trust. That's what the whole Christian faith is built on, isn't it? Faith. Faith. Think of those soldiers in the Second World War, the British Army in the early parts of the Second World War. They didn't know all the plans that the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, had in his mind. They didn't see the end game of everything he was working towards. But they saw a little bit, and that was enough for them to get on with what they did and to accomplish those objectives. And it's the same thing for us. We can't see the mind of God. We can't understand the vastness of God's eternal wisdom. We can't comprehend it. We can't even contain it in our minds. My head would pop. But God gives us enough. He reveals enough of the secrets that are his for us to know him and to be his people if we listen and if we get on with it. And again, you have the responsibility, and God gives. You see, it just keeps going round. God has secrets. And you know, as we look at this as well, another application we need to take from this, that God is in control of it all. This doesn't make us selective or picky about who we share the seed with. Knowing that it's God who gives ears to hear doesn't mean that we walk around and ask people before we share the gospel with them, are you concerned to know about Christ? Have you asked God to give you ears to hear what I'm about to tell you? We just tell everybody. We tell them. We tell them at kids club. We tell them at youth club. We tell them at holiday Bible club. We tell them preaching in the open air in the city centre on a Wednesday or the last Saturday of the month in Wigston town centre. We preach the word. We scatter the seed. The Lord Jesus didn't say that the sower only walked to the good soil and then scattered the seed. He scatters the seed. And we do the same. And then we pray really hard. And we pray really hard that God would do the work that only he can do. Listen, this morning, as we bring this to a close, two last things. Don't sit here and be complacent or fatalistic if you're not hearing or understanding God's word. Don't sit here and be complacent like it doesn't matter, or fatalistic like, well, that's it, I'm never going to hear, so I'm just not going to bother. The disciples asked him, come and ask God. Ask God for mercy. Ask God to give you ears to hear. And don't stop pleading with God until, God willing, in his grace and his mercy, he opens your ears, or he opens your eyes, or he opens your heart and your understanding to receive his truth in a good heart that bears fruit and brings life. And lastly, if you are hearing this morning, if you are hearing, how thankful you should be. God owes it to none of us. None of us have the entitlement to hear his truth and understand it and know what it means. None of us can demand God does this for us because he owes it to us, because the exact opposite is what is true. How thankful you should be, and be responsible about what you hear. Be responsible about what you hear. What a disservice you do to God if in his grace and mercy he has opened your ears and you have heard the truth and in his grace you have been saved. If now you hear his word and you choose in the way you are living your life not to do what it says. I can't think of anything that's kind of more offensive. And especially when you know what it cost God, in that simplest contextual way for what we're looking at, to open your ears. What he did so your ears could be opened. How rude, for want of a better word, can we be sometimes? If your ears are open to hear, you have a responsibility to do what you're hearing, to put it into practice. The purpose of parables, it's not just a simple thing. God uses them powerfully. And what a privilege to hear and understand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are times we struggle just to take in what it is that you're telling us, but we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you for the help of your Holy Spirit, who guides us into truth, who reveals the truth to us, who reminds us of your truth, who works that truth in our lives to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this morning, if with those whose ears are open, if we hear your voice, if we have responded in repentance and faith because of your grace and mercy to us, help us to take your word seriously. And what we hear, help us to put it into practice in our lives and to live it out and be obedient to your commands. And Father, for any who don't yet know you, for those whose ears are still closed, for those who are choosing not to listen, have mercy on them. Oh, have mercy, that they might hear your voice and they might see their need and turn and trust in Christ. So do your work, Lord. It's your work and you have the glory for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our last hymn is a hymn about God's word and how it's all we need, how it is everything that brings us to faith and how we can trust it and stand on every promise of your word. From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. So Heavenly Father, please help us to do that. Help us when we're not sure. Help us when we're not sure of ourselves and our own wisdom. Thank you that your wisdom is always perfect. Thank you that your word is always true. Help us to have that faith, that confidence, to stand on every promise of your word. And so to know you leading the way, you guiding us, your truth, being the light that shines the way ahead. All this we ask with thankfulness for your great goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.